The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast. Welcome to the worst 10-year hangover.
A message from the Motor Accident Commission and the Government of South Australia.
Hi, good morning, Roo. How are you? Halfway through the week?
Absolutely magnificent. Gee, this test is getting a little bit interesting.
Isn't it amazing?
I think a few Aussies are starting to get a little bit nervous,
so
in
they
fact.
Should. Well, we said yesterday, I think both captains have made one faux pas each, one big one each, and it's levelled it up, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure has, and the Poms are fighting back, so it's going to go to the fifth day, and it's going to be an absolute cracker, and we've already broke the record for the biggest crowd ever at Adelaide Oval. Well, we're going to smash it today because I think a lot of people wouldn't have been thinking about going down today. Well, they'll certainly, if they can get an afternoon off or the night off, they'll be heading down there for potentially a huge finish.
Yeah, amazing. Roo, I was out doing some R&D last night, bit of research and development on behalf of Tourism SA.
Yeah.
Self-appointed. They didn't sort of have anything to do with it, but I thought I'd help tourism out. And there are British people everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm stating the obvious, but I just want to endorse the fact that this test, you know, is brilliant for Adelaide. Every single place I walked into last night, there were Brits from all over the joint and just loving Adelaide. And the glowing endorsement is what made me feel proud and you know, really, really happy to be an Adelaidean. It's just fantastic. The spirit is what I'm probably talking about.
Fantastic. Oh, it's huge. Absolutely huge. And we need more events like that, I would say, if we can get it. We can't just have one test a year or one test every couple of years, however long it takes for the Ashes to come around.
So if Leon Bignall ever resigns, I'm putting my hand up. I want his job.
Well, I reckon you'd be good at it for a couple of
years. And I don't want to be paid.
You totally cooked yourself.
And I don't want to be paid either. Maybe just an expense account.
Just take it out and and food.
Oh, yeah.
Big show today, Dits. Big Mao's going to join us. Will Anderson's going to join us. We've got Dr. Carl. He's got another book out, which just in time for Christmas.
Now, Roo, I already endorsed Dr. Carl. I've bought his books over the years for my kids, not for me, because I'm not a great reader and I'm not that smart. But his books are highly intellectual, but they're also fun.
Yeah.
And great books to buy for your kids. So we'll talk to him about his latest one.
Answer a lot of questions that you want to know about in Dr. Carl's book. So we have got a massive show coming up.
All right, it's Ruined It's here thanks to the Motor Accident Commission and the 10-year hangover. You want to know about this because if you get caught drink driving, you will have a 10-year police record.
Ruined It's for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
6:10 it is on this Wednesday morning. Roo, what is making news around the place?
Down at Adelaide Oval, Dits, we spoke before the game even started. They're hoping to get 200,000 people to the test over the 5 days. Well, yesterday's crowd of 28,443 took the four-day total to 179,049, so just under 180,000.
Wow.
The previous record to a test in Adelaide was 172,000. But that was set over a 6-day test in the 1933 Bodyline test.
Hell.
So we've beaten a 6-day test in 4 days, all right, which, you know, is absolutely huge. And you would think, Dits, they might be able to pull off a, 20-odd thousand crowd again today, would they?
You'd have to. Well,
so much riding.
The Barmy Army got nowhere else to go. They'll be there. There's
8,000.
Yeah.
There's a few.
Think they can win too, so that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Were they singing last night on TV?
Very quiet the first couple of days.
Dave the saxophone player would be right amongst it. And they were up and about yesterday. So 200,000, I mean, that would be huge. And well done to everyone concerned. I was there down there Saturday and it was like clockwork down there. Biggest day they've ever had with 50-odd thousand down. 55 they had on Saturday, 52 Sunday, 43 on Monday, 28 yesterday. So let's hope they can roll on down and smash the 200,000 barrier.
How's this for a stat as well? Now, the previous highest total chased on the Adelaide Oval was 315 in 1902. This will break a record. If they get it, it'll break a record that stood since 1902.
Geez, it was a big wicket late in the night last night. Cummins just took the Englishman's off stump.
Joe Root's still there, though.
Yeah, he is. So let's wait and see, and we'll cover the cricket later on in the show. Dusty Martin got some news yesterday that his dad might be able to come back to Australia again and live. They're saying there was an error in the case against Shane Martin, his dad, who had links with the Rebels bikie gang, and that's why he was deported back to New Zealand. But there was talk yesterday that he could be back by Christmas.
Well, they get it wrong.
Well, that's what they're saying. So we'll wait and see what happens over the next couple of days. It wasn't long ago that Malcolm Turnbull said that he was a threat to Australia. So we'll wait and see what Mr. Dutton does and Malcolm Turnbull. So, that'll be good for Dustin because it's really affected his career having his dad over in New Zealand last year. He had a
Can't
very
find a ball
ordinary
at all.
Year.
Yeah.
Just couldn't concentrate and really distracted him for most of the season. So he might have a good season next year, which would be great for Richmond fans.
Yeah, all right. Hey, Roo, I've now got to the bottom of this. Apparently I taste good. I'm sweet and this is all about mosquitoes.
Kate's been telling you that for
years.
This
is all about mosquitoes. I've been trying to find the answer to this for ever since I've been born.
Because what have you found out?
I get eaten alive. And what it is, Roo, is they like my sweat. So there's
You haven't had sweat for a while, have you?
No, I have.
I know you did. You did at the top of the escalator.
Walking to the car, yeah.
They'll bite you hard that night.
Yeah. What's happening, and I read these studies all the time because when it comes around summer, I get eaten alive. Yeah. And there are two types of people. There are those that annoy me, that sit at barbers and go, no, I'm not getting eaten. And then there's me that goes, bloody hell, I'm getting eaten alive. And you end up having to go inside. Apparently it's about your sweat, and there's nothing you can do about it. And they've done studies on things like, they've said, all right, go and eat a heap of garlic or go and have a heap of something and change your sweat. And this is the other thing, Roo, which you'll find amazing. It's about lactic acid. Now, you know who develops lactic acid? People that really, really train and work
put in really hard.
Really hard.
Those sort.
I've clearly got a lot of lactic acid as well.
Can you get lactic acid from just going from your chair to the toilet?
I get lactic acid
to the barbecue.
Thinking about it. Yeah. That's how, when I'm cooking the barbie for everyone, that's how hard I work. So
basically your sweat, if your sweet's smelling sweat.
Yep.
You get bitten.
And what a shock. I'm really surprised to hear this. It's the females that bite you. The males leave you alone. It's the bloody females. They're the ones that neither do because they need, the nutrients and the blood.
Yeah.
And so that they can lay more eggs and bloody get more annoying mozzies.
There's no news to get rid of them this summer. You just got to put up with them again after that.
Yeah. I can't help you in any way except to tell you that's why you're being
just
targeted.
Get ready for it if you're bitten.
As I've said to you, I can hire myself out to kids' parties. I'll sit in the corner and I'll attract them like the purple light.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I'm hiring myself out.
Hey, Dits, that is very nice of you, and it doesn't surprise me one little bit because that's the sort of bloke you are. But up next, we're going to do another top five segment. Today, we're doing body parts.
Body parts?
Oh, the old three nipples might come out, or the two bums, you'd think. Yesterday, we did the animals. Yep. They were hilarious. Top five body parts up next.
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
All thanks to the Motor Accident Commission.
Yeah, we've got another segment today. Yesterday, we did a top five, and today we've got top five body parts.
The top five things we learned on Ruin Dits this year.
They get all nervous when they burgle places and it makes them poo.
You always talk about poo.
No, it's just true.
Bum, poo and wee edition.
Cannot imagine having something up my bum like that.
Number five.
We learned from Roo how quickly things can turn from bad to worse. You might win big on the punt, then all of a sudden you're crabbing and crapping your pants.
They had Indian for tea, and the next day I've told that story before after eating crabs and Indian and booze.
Nice.
I happened to follow through on my pants out crabbing the next day out in the boat.
Yeah.
But anyway,
worth it though.
$2,600.
You could buy new jocks with that.
Where did you get those clothes? At the toilet store?
Number four.
We learnt you should always measure twice and cut once.
True. One bloke's been given $1.15 million because they removed the wrong testicle in hospital.
Yes.
Goes in to have the surgery and then took out the wrong one.
Makes me think, how many times have you stuffed this up?
Yeah, oh, there's no doubt people would get the wrong knees operated, wrong ankles, all those sort of things. I'm a bit surprised about a wrong nut.
I would hate to wake up in hospital one day and they say, now, it was the sex change you wanted, wasn't it? And you go, no, that wasn't me, mate.
I was the extension.
Yeah, so can you reattach it, please?
Yeah.
This song goes out to that poor fella's remaining testicle. The boys thought that story was so funny that day, they kept the ball rolling into the pressure testicles contest later that morning.
So in 30 right seconds, give us 10 different names for your testicles.
balls, plums, testes, satsumas, grapes, the yo-yos.
Now, there are a few there that I haven't heard before. I think you've made a couple up. The yo-yos.
The yo-yos.
Yo-yo biscuits.
Goodness, what a biscuit.
Number three. So now we can't eat yo-yos anymore. And when Pete Hellier was on, we learnt something else we won't be eating again soon.
I guess I'm still recovering. I've got the frozen peas on my nuts at the moment. I had a vasectomy earlier in the week. I literally have the frozen peas. They've been my best friend this week.
Is it true that when you wake up, they are sort of swollen up like soccer balls or not?
Maybe like a mini kind of soccer ball you might get with a McHappy meal kind of thing during a World Cup. The doctor said, go get some frozen peas on them. I said to my wife, you know, get some frozen peas. She goes, oh, okay, I'll get some home brand. I was like, no, home brand. I want McCain's. You know, I want the full treatment. I want to put those on my balls and go, McCain's, you've done it again, you know.
McCain, you've done it again.
Number two, we learn it doesn't matter how high you work, ruined dits will always bring you back down to earth.
As we look at our window here, I watched this fella go up 13 ladders. Crane guy. I thought they'd have a lift. Crane guy, surely you've got Triple M on.
Are you listening to Triple M, Crane guy?
Wave to us. Come on.
How are you? All right?
We got him. It doesn't get any more instant
or live.
Crane guy's picked up the phone.
Of all the things that you could ask Crane guy, how do you get into the job? Are you afraid of heights? Does it pay well? Can you see my house from there? The guys chose to start with this important question.
Now, is there a toilet up there?
There is no toilet at all.
So when you need what do you do?
Well, you try and time your body clock for smoko and lunch only.
You're kidding. How many hours are you left up there for?
Oh, it's usually about 10 at the moment. You come down usually once for lunch at about sort of 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Lunch and a poo?
Yeah, lunch and a poo, that's really it. That's the routine.
From number two to the number one thing we learned on Roo and Dits this year.
Bum, poo and wee edition.
Doctor, doctor. Roo is looking for a doctor with smaller hands.
I had to go to the doctor and have a finger up the bum.
Oh, no.
He said, yeah, jump up on the table and, you know, stick your bum out this way. And then I started feeling really awkward. And then just drove it into there. Like, yeah. I don't ease their way in or anything, just whack.
Come on, let's get to know each other first.
My eyeballs had popped out by this stage. Oh!
There's not some bloke walking around out there with his finger in the air going,
yep,
I'll never wash this hand again.
It's a
Mark Ricciuto's.
There's a framed glove up on his wall now.
And a lady called up with a story twice as bad.
Well, it's not me, it's my husband. He'll probably kill me for this anyway. He had to go in for a prostate check, just like you, Ruth. Specialist said, oh, I hope you don't mind, I've got students here. Oh, yeah, that's fine. You know, beautiful. Observing, so he thought.
Oh, no.
So the specialist checks, does everything, then calls a student. So he has it twice.
Oh, no.
Beautiful.
Oh, that is bad.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Love what you try, baby. Right, Roo, one thing I learned a lot from that segment, but when we go around to Pete Hellier's house, don't have the peas.
Don't have the peas, no. Yeah, leave the veggies out.
Especially if they're
McCain. Just have a sausage.
Yeah, that's right, so to speak. Now, 6:22.
Dave Benson, Caravan and Camper Trailers. Begin your voyage and live your dreams.
I only have time for one breakfast show. Roo and Dits for breakfast. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, I'm always a bit on edge when we get the Big Man on because he's the number one man in the country. Big Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits, and hello to you, Roo, and hello to everybody in Adelaide.
Yes, thank you.
We're looking forward to the final day of the test. Maybe the follow-on should have been instituted by young Steve Smith.
Did you enjoy your time in Adelaide? You popped in to see the test.
Yes, well, I had a terrific time in Adelaide. I always do. I climbed the stadium. I took on the icon. And it's a wonderful view up there. I mean, it is a view of Adelaide, but it's a beautiful view up there. I had an 8-course degustation, including wines from all of your great regions, the Barossa and the Clare, and I went to visit the pandas too.
Oh.
Wang Wang and Funi.
Right.
Yeah. I just wonder why they don't name them Australian names. I mean, they're migrated to this country. Why not Kevin and Barry, or name them after former leaders of the opposition, Kim Beazley and Julia Gillard, because they just sit around on their asses eating bamboo all day.
Which is what they do in real life.
They're not achieving much for us.
Hey, tell me about the Hill of Grace. You were spotted drinking some beautiful wine there. Was it a good night?
Yeah, I got on the gas, as you guys say, with Junior War, wow. Mick Malloy, and JB, and we had a terrific time
what
up there.
What a cultural experience that would have been.
At the Hill of Grace. It was really quite delightful, and we got to compare Grange to a Hill of Grace. Yeah. And I've got to say, for locally made product, it was superb.
Right. Beautiful. Right. Well, let's get back to politics, Big Mal, where you do your best work. Has the New England win taken the heat off you?
Well, yes, of course, I'm cock of the hoop today and yesterday, an emphatic victory by a true Australian, not a Kiwi anymore, Barnaby Joyce, or an alien from parts beyond the seas, which means I've survived the killing season, because this time of year in the final sitting of Parliament before the December break, they like to see a little bit of blood on the floor, a little bit of et tu, Brute. So I've made it through.
That sorry, a little bit of what? What was that?
A little bit of et tu, Brute, the killing of Caesar, right, the knighting of the leader.
Wow. Okay, all right.
So this will take me through to May or June, then if I get 30 bad news polls in a row, they'll neck me and throw me in the political ditch, as it were.
Oh, we won't do that to you, no way. Mm. Hey, John Alexander, I mean, gee, I reckon if you can play Davis Cup for Australia, you should be in Parliament, surely.
Well, no, he hasn't done enough, really. I mean, you've got to at least pull down a Wimbledon or a US Open to be in Parliament. Fair but good point. On you, JA. We do love you.
What are you up to for Christmas, Big Mal? You got any plans?
Well, I'm doing my shopping at the moment, of course. Traditionally, in the family, we have a lovely Christmas dinner. I cook it on the 40-foot sloop. We get out there on the yacht, and you just look back at Sydney and think, what are the poor doing today? Sometimes I pull my pants down so Lucy can see the top of my butt crack, and I say, look, I'm a normal person. And everyone has been involving themselves with the turducken, you know, putting a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey.
Yeah, I've heard about
this. We put a pheasant inside a duck and then put that in a turkey and just call it an effing turkey.
Very good, yeah.
And then, of course, Lucy loves pearls, Paspali pearls. So traditionally on Christmas night, I always give her a pearl necklace. And she really loves them.
Yeah, what a present.
What a Christmas day.
I'm a real thoughtful kind of a guy.
You're a thinker. Yeah, good on you. Hey, what do you singing this time of year?
Well, it's Christmas carol time, isn't it, Dits?
Yes,
one of my favourites is a little Stevie Wonder number. Mm-hmm. One little Christmas tree was standing alone, waiting for someone to come by. One little Christmas tree that never had grown cried as he looked up to the sky. Well, Christmas trees aren't sentient, Steve. I mean, relax. Loading that Christmas tree with a lot of emotion that they don't actually feel. But I do love a Christmas carol, so that's what I'm singing this time of year. And, of course, before I go, I just want to say that Triple M rocks the Adelaide Oval.
Yeah.
It's match.
Well done. Right. All right.
I don't think that's going to make the cut somehow.
Politically incorrect Big Mal this morning. Thanks for that.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
All for the Motor Accident Commission. Welcome to the worst 10-year hangover. And what we're talking about here, Rua, convicted drink drivers get a police record for at least 10 years.
Yep, don't drink and drive over the summer period, the Christmas period.
It's not worth it.
Not worth it. Ditch, yesterday you had a little bit of a crack at me after you caught me talking about using moisturiser the other week and me saying how nice it felt, which I haven't got a problem with. But I thought I might get back at you a little bit today and just say things that you wouldn't think Ditz would ever say. Let's have a listen to these few.
All right.
You know what? You are right. I'm so sorry. It was definitely me that was wrong.
No, I'm really sorry. I can't come to that function tonight. I don't drink on a school night.
I can't wait to go home tonight and sit in front of the TV and watch some good reality TV.
No, I don't want another Sav Blanc. Thanks anyway.
Quick, turn on the telly. The women's doubles is on.
Yeah, I'll just have a kale smoothie, thanks.
Hey, Roo, when do the Crows women's team play? Need to tape it on Foxtel.
Do you know what? We should get Andrew Bolt on our show. I really respect his opinion. He's always right.
Hey, Kate, please clear out every Tuesday in my calendar for 2018. I want to make sure I'm free for any yoga or Pilates sessions.
Have you guys got any light beer?
Hey, check out that new vegan restaurant. Let's go there.
Actually, I'm not going to run up that down escalator.
Kane Corns needs more jobs in the media. He's the most respected player in South Australia. He probably deserved one more best and fairest.
Rue, I'm thinking of becoming a Catholic priest. I'm just really proud of what they've been up to in the last 25 years.
it's funny, isn't it? Are you happy with yourself?
Well, I just thought, we probably could have went on for a bit longer.
That is totally unfair.
Because you haven't got many opinions, it's not very hard to come up with those segments.
I've been told to go out on a limb a bit more for next year and say a few more things.
There you go. We just thought you'd...
Actually, I must say, the Crows women's team, that was probably my favourite. Yeah,
you like that? Yeah.
I'm going to go back and watch the back catalogue, actually. And if we can get Andrew Bolt on more, I'd like that.
Yep.
And to be fair, we have tried, and he refuses to come on.
Yeah, I thought he would have given you another crack.
Gee, holds a grudge, doesn't he?
He does. Hey, it's time for the pressure test. Give us a buzz, 133353 for your chance to win $1,000 cash.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point. Pressure point.
Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
Oh, here we go. Chance to win $1,000 cash. Let's go to Virginia. G'day, Jaden.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Very, very well. What are you up to today?
Just heading off to work to protect Australia's agriculture industry, mate.
How do you do the protection?
Work in shipping and freighting. So basically anything in containers that comes off the ships comes to our yard, and we've got to go through and just make sure there's no foreign bugs or anything that could harm our agriculture industry.
Hey, just on that, Jaden, you know we don't get sprayed anymore. You know, I remember years and years ago, you'd fly into into Australia from overseas, and you'd have to sit on the plane and they'd walk up and down quarantine and spray us all. That doesn't happen anymore. Is that what you do? Do you spray containers, or how do you do this?
Well, it depends what's in them or what's been in them. You can fumigate them, otherwise sometimes just a bit of chemical, sometimes... You open the doors and they fly out and they're somewhere here in Australia.
Oh, no.
Well, interesting. Right, no. So what happened?
Ditch used to get sprayed.
So you didn't experience that at all? I'm obviously a little bit older than you. Well, I can't remember when it stopped, but you used to land and they'd make an announcement, please stay in your seats, and we're about to spray the cabin, and about three or four quarantine people would come in and walk up and down the aisles letting off these aerosols, like spraying the whole plane. You don't remember that?
No, I didn't travel much, but that's...
And people from overseas used to laugh. They go, bloody hell, I'm being...
Of course they would have.
We all knew.
Felt like a bloody blowflower.
Yeah. Some people would die, but we just carried them off.
We killed the bugs.
Yeah, that's right.
The fruit and veggies are growing fantastic.
Righto, Jaden, enough of this ridiculous banter. We'll try and help you win $1,000 right now.
That'd be good.
Righto. Here we go, Jaden. 10 answers in 30 seconds. Give us 10 sweet biscuits. Tim
Tams. Monte Carlo.
Yep.
Tim Tams. Kit Kat.
Good.
Delta. Delta cream.
Yo-yos.
Yeah, yo-yos. Yeah. You've got me stuck
Kingston's,
here, boys.
Kingston's,
all
good,
right, yeah.
Good answer,
Deltas.
Deltas?
Yeah, that'll look, yep, good.
Ice Ovos.
Yeah, good. good answer. I can't believe you plucked that one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Correct.
Good on you, Jaden. Tough one, Jaden. Tough one for you.
Tough one today.
Thanks, lad. Yeah, tricky one.
Hang on. We've got a prize for you. I'll just find that as we're talking.
Keep the fruit and veg clean for us anyway today,
now,
mate.
Whereabouts do you do this job? Is it down at Gilman or somewhere?
Yeah, it is down at Gilman, yep.
All right. Good on you. All right. We've got a, this is fantastic for Christmas, by the way, a Wallace Cine Saver book. Ideal Christmas gift. This is to go to the movies, all right? Wherever you like, go and see some great films, all right?
Good on you, Jaden. Have a good day,
buddy. No worries. Thanks for that, boys.
Thanks for ringing
protecting
in.
Protecting our borders.
Russian Olympics, Dits, they're going to be banned, the Olympians, for 2018.
Yeah, it's a big, big story. Huge.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Triple M. Hey, Roo, the Winter Olympics, not huge for us here, but It's the Olympic movement. They have made a massive stand overnight. They have banned Russia from the next Games, next year, 2018, which are to take place in South Korea. This is all about systematic doping of Russian athletes over the last few years. The man behind all of this, this goes all the way to the top. His name is Vitaly Mutko.
Yep.
His mates call him Mut.
Yeah.
For short. He is or was the sports minister. His position now is vice president to Vladimir Putin. Now, Putin's going to speak tomorrow, apparently, making an announcement about this. But they have been kicked out of the Winter Olympics. This is massive.
It is huge. I'm on the back of already having a minimal impact in 2016 as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. So. Now, the repercussions of this is that Mutko is to be in charge of the World Cup soccer as well, right? He's overseeing the whole thing. So, therefore, the rest of the world will be saying, well, how can this guy be in charge?
Surely.
Well, the World Cup will be the biggest event, you know, we've ever seen, really. It gets bigger and bigger each time they hold it. They say it's bigger than the Olympics, believe it or not, the World Cup. So this guy is at the centre of all of this. But Russian athletes, so I'm led to believe that they're allowed to go and compete under their own name, but they can't compete for Russia. You can't play the Russian national anthem. There are all of these
no
other
flag at the no flag. Opening ceremony.
All right, let's go to Europe right now and find out more. Channel 9 Today European correspondent Seb Costello. Seb, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. We have been waiting for this all day. We knew the IOC were meeting. The topic, of course, being whether Russia would be allowed to compete in next year's Winter Olympics. And eventually, Thomas Bach, the president of the IOC, stood forward and he made it official that after years of doing very little about this situation, the IOC would finally make a tough decision. And as you guys were saying just before I got on the line here, they banned Russia from next year's Winter Olympics. You won't be seeing the name Russia on the medal tally. You won't be hearing the national anthem in the stadiums. And you won't be seeing the flag hanging above the pedestals.
Seb, Vladimir Putin's got a habit of sort of sticking his middle finger up to the rest of the world and saying, well, we'll do what we want. I'm just wondering, if he reacts in any way here, this means, you know, what I'm alluding to is that if they don't conform, they'll be kicked out of everything running forward as well. They won't be allowed to compete in the Summer Olympics and I suggest other things as well.
Absolutely. Sweeping ramifications across world sport here because, you know, and you only really get an idea for this when you work over here in Europe, just how big Russia is when it comes to world sport. You know, they've been at the centre of the Olympic movement. As you say, they're hosting the World Cup of Soccer next year. You know, they are involved in every avenue of athletic endeavour on a worldwide basis. And so for them to be banned in this way by the IOC is going to be huge in terms of world sport. Of course, the IOC rightly are getting a lot of criticism for not having done anything earlier. There was the McLaren report before the Rio Games that found that there was evidence suggesting that hundreds and hundreds of Russian athletes had been systematically doped. Some people might remember that it emerged that the way they were doing this was through the Moscow testing laboratory where the secret police of Russia dug a hole in the wall, and the scientists taking samples from dirty Russian athletes were to push the dirty samples, urine, through that wall where it would be replaced with a clean sample and they would get around the testing. I mean, it was blatant. They knew exactly what they were doing and it was incredibly organised. Well, there was that report. There have been various commissions, as we know. There have been athletes stripped of their medals, and yet Russia didn't get that full ban from the Rio Games. Now, finally, they will be banned from the Pyeongchang Games in South Korea in February.
Should be banned for 10 years or something like that for systematic doping like that. That's just from top to toe, isn't it? If you're starting to do stuff like that, one suspension's not long enough.
Well, the question here, Seb, is, as I mentioned, this vice president that now is the right-hand man of Vladimir Putin, if he was in control, what the Russians need to do right now is actually get rid of him. If they want to be serious and make a stand, he has to be sacked, doesn't he? I mean, Seb, has anything come out about that overnight in Europe?
He is very close to Vladimir Putin, as you rightly pointed out, so he will be protected. The IOC have banned him from taking part in any Olympic event ever again. So he's gone for life. But in terms of his power in Russia, well that's going to continue, and we'll have to wait and see what happens there in relation to the World Cup. But, I mean, you guys may have seen there was a recent documentary, Icarus, which is on Netflix. It's in an investigation into the Russian doping and revolves around the guy who was at the head of the Moscow testing laboratory. And this guy, in the film, without giving too much of it away, ends up seeking exile in America, seeking a place, a safe house to be hidden, because he's convinced that this Mutko, Vitaly Mutko, is trying to kill him to
What's
stop him
called?
From testifying. Icarus.
All right. Okay. I'm going to check that out. Seb, thanks so much, mate. Thanks for joining us. Seb Costello,
who
is Channel 9 Today's reporter over there in Europe.
They got to get barred from everything for a while.
Yeah.
You can't do for that from top to toe and set up all those sort of things and try and get away with doping on that sort of scale.
I would like to think that, hypothetically, if this was Australia, that Malcolm Turnbull or the Prime Minister of the day would come out tomorrow and say, we will get rid of these people, they should not have done this, and we'll ban them ourselves. It'll be really interesting to see what Vladimir Putin says, Roo.
Yeah, unbelievable stuff.
Roo and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Thanks to the Motor Accident Commission, the 10-year hangover, Roo. Keep that in mind about drink driving.
Yep.
You have a police record for 10 years.
Don't need that.
No, let's head to Melbourne and say good morning. Will Anderson, how are you, Will?
Good morning, boys. How is Adelaide? I'm very, it's just been such a roller coaster the last few days with the test match. I don't know what's going on.
Unbelievable.
What an exciting, exciting time. But the big news over here in Victoria this morning is crime, guys. There's a
crime.
Big crime story going around.
Right.
A $5,000 sex doll called Dorothy has been stolen from Sexyland.
Oh, come up with a better name, will you?
Oh, come on.
Dorothy. No, that Dorothy is a good name for her because if you're having sex with her, she at the same time says, there's no place like home, there's no place like home, there's no place like home. So, look, we are thinking at the moment that if they find it, it'll be easy to identify who stole her because they'll be able to get plenty of fingerprints. And there may be some DNA samples as well. So everything should be fine.
Yes.
Unfortunately, when they put the handcuffs on the criminals, he's going to really like it. So that's the problem.
Beat me. Beat me. Give me more. all right. Now, Will,
I thought home invasions were bad, but sex dolls in Melbourne, that's taken over from that sort of stuff, Will, hasn't it?
I mean, essentially, they're going around to bike shops today looking for anyone who's asking for a puncture repair kit. So it's the number one suspect. They think it might be Dom Burke's new scarecrow, but I'm not saying that's true.
Actually, she's very voluptuous, too. I saw the picture of her, you know, this morning on the TV.
No, it's fair to say, it's fair to say they haven't gone for the sexy librarian look.
No.
They haven't gone for the, you know, the glasses and she shakes out her hair and you realise she's pretty. It's fair to say that... well, look, if you were going to put her in your car and you didn't have any airbags, she would probably do the job.
Provides it. Yeah. Now, can I ask a technical question here? And
well,
I don't know if either of you
do.
Have had experience, but would she squeak when you're having...
Would she squeak?
Well, depends if she enjoyed it or
the plastic,
not. Man.
You know, the plasticky, rubbery, wouldn't it, you know?
What you need not, there, Dits, is a little bit of a WD-40, I guess.
Ah, right. WD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think it'd be
would
a
big... Would she squeak?
I think it'd get
you know, when
there.
You...
That's your big question, is it?
Is.
It
he
is.
Just he likes a squeaker. Obviously. Dits. Doesn't he? Will, do you think that's what he's after?
I mean, I guess if that's your thing, mate. Normally it's the bed that
can
squeaks.
I buy the squeaker?
I mean, I suppose it could be the sex doll.
You know that horrible sound that rubber makes when you rub, you know, run your hands over it? Or
I feel like we're learning a lot about you, Dits, to be honest.
We're getting a bit too deep.
No, I need to know. I need
we're
to
getting
know.
A bit too deep.
You can, research that for me, please, Will, and next time you're on, we can talk.
I feel like there's a couple of days left of your show. That's a great way to go out.
Maybe our last
year.
Ever.
Hey,
Will. Last day experiment.
Sir Paul McCartney's in Melbourne at the moment and apparently doing some good work.
Yeah, doing a three and a half hour concert
How
last
long?
Night.
How long?
Three and a half hours.
Jeez, you get your money's worth out of him.
Yeah, well, he's got some good songs, guys. He was in the Beatles. I don't know if you know.
Few good ones.
Play some of those songs. Play some of the ones from Wings. Yeah. Play some solo stuff.
You're heading along?
He can feel it. So I got to Melbourne this morning. I'd been in Sydney last night. Got in at about 1 o'clock. It had been a late night, and we came in this morning and we just played all music that he had played at the gig last night. And by the end of the show, I had managed to get myself a ticket. That's how excited everybody in Melbourne is about these gigs and how good tonight is going to be.
Beautiful.
So, you know what? It's only a personal thing. I still think he's the best ever. I really do. The Beatles, hard to beat, but he's got an unbelievable voice, I reckon, Will.
I mean, it's a big call, mate, to say that Paul McCartney is one of the greatest musicians of all time.
Sorry, I went out on a limb there.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've heard of Lennon McCartney at all.
Do you reckon Steve Smith's a good batsman? What other brave things
do
you
have? Is he a speaker?
Sir Paul. He might have Dorothy.
And I reckon, Apple computers will take off as well.
And if you're looking for a new franchise, get on to McDonald's. Yeah. Apparently they're going to get really big soon. So, All right,
take the piss, go on.
All right, Will.
That was our segment stating the obvious. Okay. Hey, good on you, Will. Have a good day.
Nice to talk to you, boys.
See you, Will.
Enjoy the day.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Hey, Roo, what a test match we've got down at the Adelaide Oval, and what a team we've got here on Triple M.
No, it's been unbelievable listening to cricket on Triple M. I think it's been the best coverage I've heard of the game ever.
Yeah. No, and, you know, it's funny. I've had some English visitors here this week, and they've been driving around in their car, and they've got Triple M on, and they've just said, what a refreshing change, because they listen to the BBC or the ABC, and all of a sudden we've got idiots calling cricket. They just love it. And one of them's here with them. Gus, good morning. Gus Wallen.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
I take that in the nicest possible way. You know what I mean, don't you?
Absolutely.
It is fun. It's informative and it's fun, and what a different way to do cricket, and we love it.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. Thank you. As long as we get the ball right, so as long as the listener knows who the bowler is, where the ball's gone, and what the score is, outside of that, you've got with a fast bowler maybe 30 seconds, six times within a couple of minutes. So you're going, well, let's have an entertaining story rather than something boring. And, you know, when you've got your Mick Malloys and you've got your Lawrence Mooneys and Tufnell, Phil Tufnell, who literally...
Hasn't he been good? How refreshing is he?
He fitted in perfectly.
He's brilliant.
Continually gone the jungle juice, always going downstairs. Have I got time to go down and have a quick dart?
Yeah.
He's just fitted beautifully into the Triple M setup. So, it's been great to be a part of it.
He's been fantastic.
Do you think that's just been his life, cricket, drinking and smoking?
Pretty much. He's actually been through a little bit. He's brought out a couple of books. He's come out the other side. He's had some mental health issues.
All right.
He's just dealt with that. He's owned up to it and gone and got some treatment. And now he's on his fourth missus.
Yeah.
He's got his life all intact. He's on TV shows in the UK. So he's building himself up again, and he's just an absolute champ.
No, and what about the game? Isn't it? We bagged Joe Root, day bagged one and day
cricket.
Two. We bagged Test cricket. Oh, this is too boring. What a test match we've got.
One of the best, and this is why test cricket's so good, because it's so long, you're bound to have some ebbs and flows in it. And Root made a shocking call. If you get 440 declared and you've been sent in, it's a bad call. But then Steve Smith made a bad call not following on. Best bowling conditions, the bowls were ready to go. He never asked them what he wanted to do. So he's made a bad decision. We bat badly in the second dig, and now it's game on.
Yeah. Right, when Steve Smith made that call, did everyone jump on him before the Aussies got forfeit? Did everyone go, he's made a bad call then before that?
Straight away. Everyone did? Every single person in the Triple M box, we got like 1,000 baggy greens in their combined test matches. And they all went, well, we're going to bowl now because the conditions are perfect for our bowlers. And then we found out that he wasn't going to. He was going to thought the bowlers might have bowled too much.
Need a rest.
He never asked them. We found that out. So that was a double whammy. You got to go to
Captain's
your senior
call.
Blokes. It was a captain's call, so he's going to have to live by that. If we don't win this test match, it's a huge black mark against his captain.
I'm thinking, back in history, we often say Ian Chappell was our best ever captain, and as strong and as tough and as strong-willed as he is or was, I bet he still went to Lillian Tomo and said,
you would.
What do you think?
It's just common sense to me. You go to the blokes who are actually going to do the work and say how you're feeling. Because they only had about an hour and a half, about probably five overs each to bowl, 20 overs that night. So it's not like they were going into a big 40-degree day. Mm. So, but we'll forget about it if we bowl them out today.
How do you see the day unfolding, Gus? What's the talk from the other boys as well that you spoke with? good last night?
It is all about getting Root out. If you get Root out, then their tailors are walking, basically a walking bunch of wickets. So their last four wickets are no good. So if you get Root out, then we win. We probably win pretty easy. If not, Root gets 150 and we go to Perth 1-1. That's what the series needs because everyone's already written the Pommies off. So if they get this done, well, what a series we've got.
And isn't he just like the, we call Darren Hinch the human headline, but I think Joe Root, I love the name Root.
Mm. So do I.
And, you know, if they lose, is he Roothead? Is he, I don't know. There are all sorts of connotations that I can think of in my head that I won't go with right now.
He's an antagonist, isn't he, though, for a little fella?
But don't you like the name Joe Root?
He's like 12. He looks about 12.
He does.
It's incredible. But he's sort of annoyingly not a bad bloke, apparently. We've got Jason Gillespie, who's the Yorkshire County coach, in our box with us. And he says he's one of the nicest blokes ever. So that's really annoying because he's the England captain. You want to dislike them.
Yeah. He's been on the lip, though. He's had a bit to say.
Yeah.
I want to know what his nickname is, if you can find that out for us as well.
No worries. I think they nicknamed him Dud.
See, that's what I want.
That's exactly what I want.
Quick. Or Dud.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Surprising.
Not quick enough or too quick.
Surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, just before we go, Gus, I've followed you on the old Fox network over the years. You are a cricket tragic.
Yes.
And you've lived my absolute dream, and that is to go to the West Indies, a Caribbean tour.
Yeah.
Just quickly, was that an absolute highlight of your cricket following career?
Absolutely. So an Aussie guys, Calypso, back in 2009. Yeah. There was a crew of about seven of us, went on a nine-week trip, seven one-dayers.
9 weeks,
couple of
brilliant
test matches. And I got to tell you, the crew, and not myself, but the crew were basically off their faces most of the time, wacky-backy floating through our particular crew. We had an absolutely brilliant time. The Aussie players back then had a little bit more character and they were quite happy to sort of involve themselves with us. It was a third TV show we had done, so we'd built up some respect amongst that crew. Cameras down, a lot of fun happening in the evenings. It was the best, and you should do it.
Well, I want to go on your next one. Let's do it. Can you do another Caribbean one?
Well, I've got Sri Lanka, South Africa, and back to England in the pipeline.
Nice.
So you want to jump on one of those.
Fantastic. Well done. Good on you, Gus Wallen.
Thanks, guys.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, every now and then we come across a fella that we sort of think, come on, mate, lift your game, start putting in.
Yeah.
This our next guest, he's a qualified medical doctor. He's an engineer, physicist, mathematician, has won a Nobel Prize, named one of Australia's national living treasures. And as I said, come on, start putting in a bit.
You got to start doing some research.
Crikey. Dr. Carl, how are you?
Good. Now, I should point out that it's an Ig Nobel Prize, not a Nobel Prize.
Oh, what does that mean?
It's given for research that cannot or should not be done, or in another way, research that makes you look and then laugh and then begin to think. And so in my case, I got my research for discovering why belly button fluff is almost always blue and where did it come from?
Which we need to know.
That is
now,
interesting.
Does it come from, hang on, was the answer that it comes from jocks or from towels?
It's a mixture of the worn out fibres of clothing mixed together with dead skin cells.
Oh, wow.
Right, well, I won't be eating any of that.
Pulled some blue stuff out the other day, actually, and thought the same thing.
And the way you can change the colour of it is by just changing all your underwear and your clothing. So if you go to a red shirt, red socks, red trousers, you'll have red belly button fluff.
Okay.
What about if you just got ginger hairs like Dits? That'd tint it a little bit, wouldn't it?
Multicoloured.
Hang on, wait a sec. You mean he's got ginger hairs on his skull?
No. Well, you got them all over the place.
They got a bit grey on my skull, but everywhere else is a bit ginge.
But you see, they're not the things that end up in belly button fluff. Belly button fluff is made up of fibres of clothing.
Okay. Right, yeah,
so whatever,
good point.
Whatever colour your clothing is, that's what it becomes.
Now, you've got a new book out just in time for Christmas called Carl, the Universe and Everything.
A rather modest title, I thought.
That's right. Now, it says here, grab your towel and hitchhike across the galaxy. So tell us more.
Well, it tells you how aircon is sexist.
Stop right there.
Be careful.
Explain that to us.
Aircon was set up to standards about 40 years ago, and the average person it was set up for was a 75-kilogram male in a three-piece suit with covered shoes.
Right. Okay.
And so if you've got a woman in light summer clothing, mate, she's going to have to put on a cardigan.
She always says, I'm cold. You're right, actually. Do you know, this
they
happens at my house all the time.
They're bloody cold. Yeah. Hey, this is an interesting one. Why are people chronically late?
Well, there's a bunch of reasons. One, they're perfectionists. They want to have everything right, like the dishwasher properly loaded before they leave the house.
The bed
made. They don't realise that being late to meet somebody is also being anti-perfectionist. And then there's the defier who wants to stand up against the fascist imperialist oppressors of the honest working class proletariat. And they do this by saying, oh, I'm going to be late. They don't realise that they're putting themselves at a disadvantage and they'd be better off fighting society by being on time.
Okay.
And then there's a dreamer who reckons that they can have a shower, pack everything in the suitcase, clean up the room, make sure they've got everything, go down to the lobby, check out, be in a taxi in 3 minutes.
Yep, there's plenty of them around.
Yeah, you know those guys.
Yeah,
right,
we're married to one. Yeah, married to those. Hey, what about...
So, all you have to do is recognise it and then you can stop it.
I've never understood about the universe, you know, turning on its axis and all of those sorts of things. What would actually happen, because I believe you explain this in the book, if the Earth stopped spinning, would we all fall off?
Well, if it you're a little tiny bit lighter at the equator because it's got a bit of centrifugal force throwing outwards,
yep.
And if the Earth were to gradually slow down, not all at once, if it just stopped instantly, everybody at the equator would keep on moving at 1,600 kilometres an hour, and then as you work your way around towards the pole, it would be progressively less until the North or South poles would be nothing. But if you gave it a couple of days or weeks to slow down, what would happen is that the water that's thrown up at the equator by centrifugal force would flow to the North and South poles, and you would have a continent all the way around the equator at least 2.5 kilometres high.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's actually the centrifugal action of the spinning that raises the oceans up to 8 kilometres above their normal height.
But isn't it also the spinning that causes gravity or not?
No, gravity is due to space-time being distorted. That's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, let's not try that for another day. That's too early in the morning.
Dr. Carl, we always love talking to you. Always fascinating. The book is called Carl, the Universe and Everything. Thanks so much for talking to us. And, Roo, as I said before, I've bought a lot of these books each Christmas for my kids, and it's always entertaining. It really is. Dr. Carl.
Thank you.
Thanks,
mate. On, Dr. Roo.
Good on you, Carl. Have a good Christmas.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast. Welcome to the worst 10-year hangover.
A message from the Motor Accident Commission and the Government of South Australia.